Let's turn now to the big news in sports today. Just about an hour ago, the NBA announced that it will ban LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life for allegedly making racist remarks in a private phone call to his girlfriend. Just this afternoon, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver announced the league's decision to ban Sterling and fine him $2.5 million, the maximum allowed under the league's constitution.
The views expressed by Mr. Sterling are deeply offensive and harmful. Sentiments of this kind are contrary to the principles of inclusion and respect that form the foundation of our diverse, multicultural, and multi-ethnic league.
Silver also announced that Sterling will not be allowed to be involved with the team. He won't be allowed to attend any games. And the commissioner also asked that the NBA's Board of Governors vote to force Sterling, to sell the team. So we're joined now by Gary Washburn, who covers basketball for the Boston Globe. He's in New York, where NBA Commissioner Adam Silver just made those comments. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to be here.
So first of all, tell us, how big is this announcement?
Well, it's unprecedented. I mean, the NBA really hasn't had a situation like this before. This happened in Major League Baseball about two decades ago with a lady named Marge Schott, who owned the Cincinnati Reds and said some openly racist statements, and they forced her to sell the team because of that. But the NBA hadn't really had a situation like this before. They have fined owners for criticizing officiating or for other maybe smaller acts. But this was a very bold move by Commissioner Adam Silver. There was speculation that he would, let's say, suspend Mr. Sterling indefinitely and fine him. And people were kind of were expecting to be kind of disappointed by that because they wanted a harsher move. But this is universally being praised as a standout move for professional sports, not only in the NBA, because now to ban him for life means obviously he can never be part of the NBA again, and I think that's what a lot of people wanted.
Now, tell us a little bit more about Adam Silver saying that he's asking the Board of Governors at the NBA to force Sterling to sell the team. What exactly does that mean?
Well, basically, they can't just strip him of the team. Obviously, he has purchased the team legally. He is the legal owner of the team. Obviously, with rights and laws, you cannot just strip him of the team because it's of his ownership. So now comes the process of encouraging him to sell. If he's banned for a lifetime, he can no longer attend games, any NBA functions, he can't even go to an arena, then you can vote the Board of Governors to force him to sell the team. He'll still make a profit. He'll still benefit financially from selling the team, but the team will no longer be in his possession. Now, obviously, this could be a long legal fight because Mr. Sterling could legally say he is being forced to sell and he doesn't want to sell, and he could take this all the way probably to the Supreme Court to keep this team. So this could be a very long legal battle.
Okay, so just in the moments after NBA Commissioner Adam Silver spoke today, the NBA's Player Association had a press conference in Los Angeles. We've got some tape of that. Here's Roger Mason, who played with a bunch of professional teams. Last, I believe, he was with the Miami Heat. He's the first vice president of the NBA's Player Association. Here he is.
As players, we're very happy with the decision, but we're not content yet. We want immediate action. We want a timetable from the owners as far as when this vote's going to happen. But we feel confident that with Adam Silver's urging, and obviously we've heard from a lot of the owners around the league, we think this is something that can be handled quickly.
So, Gary, given what you just said, maybe not so quickly, but what about one of the key people in this story? And that is LA Clippers' current coach, Doc Rivers, who, of course, just last year was the coach of the Boston Celtics. Do you have any sense as to how he might be reacting to the NBA's decision today?
Well, I think he's relieved. I think he wanted a harsh. I mean, this is a man who left the Boston Celtics to take this job. He asked out of his contract. There was a trade between the Celtics and the Clippers to send him to Los Angeles to coach this team for a very lucrative contract, a team that's run by obviously someone with racist feelings and opinions. So I think Rivers was a little bit embarrassed by the whole situation, that he actually left an organization he was very happy with to join an organization that's ran by someone who made these type of statements. So I think he's relieved a little bit about the action. I don't think personally he ever wanted to deal with Mr. Sterling again as a boss, and obviously with this today's ruling, that is expected to be the case. Now, how long he Mr. Sterling continues to own the team, whether he passes the team to his estranged wife, are all questions that need to be answered. And I think the Players Association is kind of, they're going to put their foot on this situation. They want to know when this is going to happen. They don't want a bunch of promises. They want to know exactly when this team will be stripped from Mr. Sterling and that it'll have new ownership.
Mm. Now, Gary, I've just got to ask you about sort of the meta story around this controversy over Donald Sterling, because several people have said, I mean, the New York Times' William Roden, and today writing in The Root, Tufts University history professor Peniel Joseph also implied that basically this has given the comments of Donald Sterling have given sort of an insight into what they're calling a plantation system, you know, at the NBA. And the fact that, you know, obviously, there are so many high-quality African-American players who are bringing fans to the court, but when it comes to ownership and people in power at the NBA, it's a different story altogether. Does that resonate at all within the league, within the sport, or does that seem to be sort of an excessive criticism as to what the Donald Sterling story is really talking about when we're talking about basketball?
Well, I do think it's a valid point. I think the difference between ownership of the 1940s and 50s, where African Americans were not allowed to play in Major League Baseball and not allowed to play in the NBA and not even the NFL in some cases, and now is every owner understands that African American athletes are essential to having a successful sports team. The NBA is a primarily African American league, about 70-75%, so you have to have African American players to be a successful team. So instead of 50 or 60 years ago, where an owner like a Tom Yawkey of the Boston Red Sox could say, I don't want them on my team, they'll say, I want them on my team to help me win, but I still don't like these particular individuals. And I think that's what Donald Sterling was saying. Donald Sterling did not want his girlfriend to be seen publicly with African Americans, nor did he want her to bring African Americans to his games, nor did he want African Americans to his games as a whole. That is a telling statement, a piercing statement to say you don't even want black people at your basketball games, but you're out there paying African Americans millions of dollars to play for your team to potentially win a championship. So I think Mr. Joseph and Mr. Roden were correct that the plantation system, I think this is an eye-opener to a lot of young African American players that may feel that they're being used and might think that this is what ownership is about, that these owners don't see them as equals. They see them as basically employees. They see them as slaves on a plantation. Mm-hmm. It's a very strong statement. It might be an extreme, but I think here it might have been true with Mr. Sterling.
Boston Globe basketball reporter Gary Washburn speaking to us today from New York, where the NBA has announced that it will ban LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life. Gary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the Somerville-based poet and winner of the prestigious Kingsley Tufts Poetry Award, author Michael Weaver. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.